Now, having understood that a woman is not viewed as an object, as property to be owned by a man, is not viewed as a person who is insignificant in society. The woman is not described as a person who is, you know, inferior to man. Why would the Bible then have verses where women are stopped, are hindered from doing certain things? Why do we find in scripture that a woman should not do this but only do this? Should we go ahead and assume that because the Bible says women aren't supposed to do this and that, can we go ahead and say maybe God didn't create man and woman, you know, equally important or abled? I mean, is this support for men are more superior than women? And I want to believe you might have had these questions as well. I mean, I'll admit to some extent I had these questions, and I was wondering, do men go ahead to marry because they are looking for the other half? Yeah? Like one of my friends always mentions it, when he finds a girlfriend, he says, "Ha, man, I think I found my lost rib." I'm like, dude, how many ribs are you really looking? Like, if I count the number of times he has told me he has found his lost rib, I'm starting to think this guy was probably not created with enough number of ribs. Like, because many ribs, he has been finding many ribs, and for some reason those lost ribs of his, in quotes, have always, you know, left. So I don't know if he really has any ribs right now. But are women supposed to be sought and taken into our lives as men because we need someone to fill us? Okay, are we not created whole? Are we just supposed to get women to be in our lives because there are certain things only they can do? Or do we go out to look for women? Do we go out to search for women to marry them and have them as part of our lives? Because, you know, there are some little things we can't handle. We have huge responsibilities and they have to do these little ones. And finally, is it because that is God's intended plan that a woman will be a helper for a man? We'll answer this. But let me read for you these verses. And I would want to beg that you kindly have your Bible on you, so that as I do this study, as I go ahead to share this message, you are following with your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 to 35, it says, "The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 to 15. I'll read. "I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor." And finally, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, my dear friends and listeners out there, I did read these verses not because I want to enforce the message or the widely accepted norm that women are created as inferior. They shouldn't even do this. You see, even the Bible says they're not allowed to do this and that. Let's try to understand, you know, what exactly these are about. First Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. He was addressing this to the church in Corinth. First Timothy again is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, sending it to Timothy, who was like his protege, another young man in ministry, to the church in Ephesus. And then we have First Peter here, being written by the Apostle Peter. In my understanding of Proverbs 31, I was trying to question why this Israeli culture disregarded women to this extent. And to some point I was wondering, is it the same reason that led to the Apostle Paul writing these? Is it because of this kind of mindset about women that we find passages, verses in the Bible where women aren't allowed to do this and that? And to my surprise, I learned that it wasn't the case per se. You see, when understood in context of the culture and history of the original audience, one cannot go ahead to say that women are less of men in the church setting. Because we know that scripture is God-breathed in its entirety. Therefore, it cannot contradict itself. I mean, lest we risk calling God a liar. And I believe you and I cannot really take that route. When you read from more passages and books, the women are referred to as helpers for men. Genesis 2:18. And then they are called co-heirs with men for the kingdom. That is 1 Peter 3:7. And upon further research, you learn that it is because of women that Jesus Christ could be born as sinless. Now, tell me, if women are really supposed to be portrayed in the Bible as, you know, inferior to men and not important, why would Jesus Christ's sinless life, his whole being sinless, be because of women and not men? Because realize, if you've taken a study in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, if he had a father, an earthly father, Jesus Christ would be born with sin. Because through the DNA of Adam and every other man thereof, we are born as sinners. But because Joseph wasn't Jesus Christ's earthly father or biological father, he wasn't sinful. He was born with no sin. But through the mother, Mary, who carried Jesus Christ the baby in her tummy for all those months, because of a woman, Jesus Christ is regarded sinless. He was born without sin. And as I explain this next part, kindly rid yourself of any gender prejudice and that you may have, you know, because this is not just me telling you my ideas from my mind. This is what God says. This is what is in scripture. First of all, I want to note this, that God was so meticulous when he was creating a woman. And his intention was that she would be in God's image. Because you remember that part in the Bible where God says, let us make man in our own image. It is God speaking to, you know, himself within. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they go ahead to create man and woman. And this denotes that before God, the woman is equal to a man in essence. She was created second and made a helper for man, not as a subject or a slave. When created, God assigned them responsibilities in the garden. He assigned these responsibilities to Adam, and then he saw that Adam needed a helper and created Eve. God also made man as the head. And it has nothing to do with superiority in any case, but rather God is sovereign plan and choosing. And if you try to ask around, there is nothing that really suggests that men are more superior in comparison to women. God designed us differently for a reason. I mean, if you try to even find out, there are women who possess more intellectual and physical abilities, you know, over men. God chose, as his will was, to make the man a head and the woman a helper, not based on the reasons known to mankind currently. Now, I had to say that information out there so that we understand a very important message about this. But let us now take note of the verses I read, 1 Timothy 2:11 in 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, a woman is not permitted to speak in church, but to learn in silence. And friends, this is not to suppress a woman, but rather because of two reasons. Let's try to understand. Number one, this was because of the underlying cultural context of how those particular women behaved in society and places of worship. And also number two, it is because of the order and roles assigned by God. Here's what I mean. The churches in Corinth, to which the 1 Corinthians letter was addressed, and also the church in Ephesus, to which the 1 Timothy letter was addressed, these women in these particular churches were so much influenced by the culture of day. When they came to the places of worship, they sought to take men's attention to their own appearances and beauty, not to fellowship as it was the intention, you know, originally. These kind of women would show up in places of worship with a lot of, you know, dangling jewelry. If you try to consult from, you know, the sources written about the culture of those times, these women would dress in a way that was really revealing. They would come in churches and even want to stand on the pulpit and, you know, glorify God in courts. But their main intention was to draw, you know, the men's attention to their bodies. Also, these women were all trying to use the church platform to usurp God's order of creation by assuming leadership over men. And so for this reason, they were discouraged from pulpit ministry in congregations where the men were. The Apostle Paul, it does not say they should never teach anywhere. Because when you read the Bible, when you get to familiarize yourself with Scripture, you get to know that the Holy Spirit gives us different gifts. Nowhere does it say that the Holy Spirit only gives the gifts of teaching, you know, being pastors, to only the men. You will also learn in parts of Scripture where it is mentioned that the women should go ahead, the older women should go ahead and teach the younger ladies in the church. And they are also given this sole responsibility of being the nurturers, okay, and the teachers to the children. Look out for any other pastor, any great teacher today, any great man. They have been nurtured by a woman. God assigned order, and he was so meticulous. But guess what? The devil knew it. And that is why in Eden, the devil did not go to Adam. That Satan did not go through Adam to bring about sin. He went through Eve. This is because the devil is so much aware of how capable men and women are. He also knows that women are innately more attention giving. That is why he was able to manipulate and lie to Eve first, not Adam. And to this very day, you could even see it. If I went to a congregation that had an equal number of women and men, I get to stand up there and just burst out into tears and start crying. It is very possible you will see all the ladies real concerned without even knowing what's going on in my life. While the men would want to ask what is wrong, while the men would want to wonder why is a man crying in public, all the women will be more touched and feel sorry for me. I've seen women become emotional just watching movies. While the men can tell themselves, it's just a movie, it was just scripted, that person didn't die in real life, women will still be emotional and say, yes, I understand, but hey, see, they've killed a little baby. The women are naturally, it is just in them. They are always more inclined to understand what the other person says. They want to hear you out. That is God's intended design. Okay? It has nothing to do with them being inferior. The women are created with that motherly instinct where they will seek to listen and be more merciful than it is with the men. And I want to call your attention to the word used, more. When we read Scripture, I want us to always pay attention to the kind of words used. I mean, when it says the women are more, this means that men too go through that very thing. Men too are subject to that, but the women are just more to it. This same idea needs to be carried in understanding 1 Peter 3:7. It says the women are weaker vessels. Now, English 101, when you compare two things and say this is weaker than this, it doesn't necessarily mean that this other second thing is really strong. Never. Both are weak, only one is weaker. This is how God designed it. It has nothing to do with who is better, who is smarter. We are just unique, and this comes with assigned roles. Because Eve was a weaker vessel and was easily lied to, her motherly nature to attend to anyone easily is what makes her better at nurturing, nursing, and teaching children. And a man is more adaptable to leading as God so intended. I'm a full-time tutor in school. My Korean client is a 9-year-old boy who has some underlying issues there in studying in school. But there are times when I feel I cannot really push on. I feel like he has really pushed all my buttons and I cannot do this anymore. Because as a man, it becomes hard for me. Sometimes we are supposed to do this assignment with him, but he's not in the moods. Okay? He's not willing to pay attention. He wants to play, and I know it's time for class. I'm supposed to take him to do this assignment in the lab, but he wants to play. He wants to rest. And as a man, I want to sit him and reason out things, but he's a 9-year-old, for God's sake. But because I'm a man, it's not in me. And I've seen him around his sister and his mother, and not because they're related to him, but even the female teachers, they easily understand. I've seen this with my own mother. There have been times when I've been unreasonable, when anyone could easily judge me, but my mother just says, "What is going on? Let me understand you. Let me hear you out." I've seen it with the ladies I've grown up with. Ladies have that naturally in them. They will want to break down and hear you out. They want to understand. That doesn't mean they are very weak. That doesn't mean they are inferior. That doesn't mean they are not as talented and gifted as men. That is just God's design in their nature. That is what allows them to be better at nurturing and nursing us. If everyone should stand before you and convince you that a woman is not to be regarded as important in society, that person needs to tell you if they were really made from a laboratory in a test tube. But if they were birthed by a woman, they were raised by a woman, that person is really just wasting your time. You shouldn't pay attention to them, okay? Now, I understand that this session, this study, for me started as I need to understand what a godly woman ought to be like, what I need to look out for in a godly woman. But somehow it ended in me explaining what, you know, these passages say about women. Okay, a woman that isn't allowed to speak in church. Why is that? How do we go about it? I know, we got there. But I believe God led me to that point because there was a very profound message I had to share with us. And here it is. Friends, women and men are essentially equal before God. They are both weak, they are both susceptible to being lied to by the devil, they all are able to be, you know, tempted. I mean, the same scripture that says Eve was being tempted by the devil and she succumbed, we also later on see a number of men falling to, you know, the devil's schemes. Women are just more susceptible to this because they are created that way. They always give an ear to listen. And God assigned these roles and responsibilities as part of His sovereign plan and design. It's not on the basis of superiority as it can be seen today. When scripture says a woman is not allowed to lead or teach men in places of worship, it is because of the historical context of the particular churches being mentioned, and also as best in scripture because of how God designed and intended everything to flow. It has nothing to do with men. Women are not, you know, gifted teachers. As a matter of fact, a number of things I've learned in life have been taught to me by women, by my mother. So women are as valuable as men. And any man ought to respect them as God urges us to. They are not just birth givers. They are teachers. They are planners, thinkers, innovators, and above all, helpers. A woman was not created as a helper for man because she is weaker, she is inferior. So women out there, do not feel like how the world paints you to be is how you ought to be. God sees you differently. You are designed in that way for a reason. Let not your uniqueness be used to make you feel like you are less. You are very, very important before God. With your skin color, your hair color, your size, your body size, your height, your shape, your level of education, your different abilities and skills, it doesn't matter. If God doesn't say, look for this figure to be accepted by me, don't let the world tell you that. For your value before God supersedes what any man will convince you, what any movie and music video will tell you. Women, you are more valuable. You are very important in society. And to us men, we ought to respect them as God does urge us to. Women are not just birth givers. They are teachers. They are planners, thinkers, innovators, and above all, helpers. And so just because they are unsung heroes, it doesn't negate the fact that they are heroes too. And with that message, happy Women's Day to all the women out there. To all the women in my life, my own dear mother, Motesi Juliet, I love you so much. Ndagukunda chane. My dear sister Esther, I love you so much. All the women in my life that have shaped the man I am today, may the Lord bless you. And remember, you are more valuable than what anything else in this world could tell you, because the Lord has said it in His word. Your value supersedes any gold and silver a man could ever want. And to my special lady and best friend, happy day to you. And thank you so much for all your contribution towards this message here. And to all my listeners there, thank you so, so very much for your time. And until next time we get to meet, be safe.